Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening and connecting the local music community with innovative programs that empower musicians, music industry professionals, and Austin music businesses within Austin's creative economy. Ever since the coronavirus has arrived and we've done social distancing and the office has been closed, Austin Music Foundation has found a way to still provide all of its services online. You can go there and get consultations online. You can have all your questions answered. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org, all right? Hang in there.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're all being safe, practicing safe habits, these new habits of being quarantined and social distancing, which are totally starting to become a maddening thing. Are you guys losing it? I've had some friends say they're losing it this week. It's already time to lose it, I think. It's a freaky scene, and I'm not downplaying anyone who's lost someone. But people are starting to pass away. Bill Withers died. Different people are going. It's freaking everybody out. Everyone's kind of just sitting in their house. There's a lot of live streaming going on. I'm joining part of the live streaming problem. Tomorrow, Thursday, April 9th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, I, Johnny Gowdy, will be performing music on a live stream on my Facebook page, Johnny Gowdy Music. So go there. I'm going to be playing some Johnny Gowdy music on the Johnny Gowdy Music Facebook page. And I'm itching to play. I've been playing around the house. Finally joined a songwriting game this week. My friend Corey called me yesterday. He was like, man, we got to get this going. I'm not finishing tunes. I was like, dude, I'm not finishing tunes. I worked on a song all weekend and didn't finish it. Like, I kept getting to the chorus and kept on writing these shitty choruses. Made me want to freak out. And I didn't want to freak out. I did freak out a little bit on Sunday, you guys. I freaked out. You guys know I have an old dog. His name's Taylor. He had a tough weekend. He has his bad days, you know, and he has his good days. He's at that age. He's almost 14. So his mom was texting me and saying, like, man, I don't think he's doing very well. You know, you might want to come over and spend time with him. I don't know how much, you know, the whole, like, I don't know when we're going to have to do the thing that we don't want to do. And I started getting really bummed out. And then I was watching the news, which is, of course, a terrible thing to do when you're starting to get really bummed out, because it kind of finishes you off like a good, it finishes you off. You guys make the joke. I'm not going to make the joke. So as I'm watching the news, I find out that somebody at my grocery store that worked at my grocery store or works at my grocery store has coronavirus, tested positive. So I had a double freak out. So Sunday night, needless to say, I sat there frozen like a freak in my bed, just kind of crying about my dog and worried about spreading this thing or not spreading it. Anyway, I ended up going and spending time with them on Tuesday or on Monday. A lot of time, actually. My doggy mama was at work. And her dude was gone, and so I had to take him to the vet so he could get some stuff checked out. But he's back. He's back to, old guy scene. He's not in the freaky zone anymore. He's out of the red, but I got to spend a nice full day with him. Got to spend like almost six hours with him, just chilling out, petting him, talking to him, and taking him for little walks. And then I took him to the vet. The vet was an interesting scene. Like, now you pull up to the vet, and then you call the vet, and you're like, hey, I'm here. I got the dog. And then they come out and get the dog out of your car. And then you sit in the parking lot and listen to a podcast. Wait, don't tell me specifically. And then they bring the dog back out to the car when they're done, and you pay and you go. So, anyway, that's been my days. I've also been trying to do these live stream conversation things on Facebook, on the How Did I Get Here page, that I guess have been cutting out. I don't know. This live stream thing, I don't know if it's people have bad Wi-Fi connections, worse than they thought, or it's just over, the system's overwhelmed because everybody is live streaming. Everybody's also podcasting. That was a Freudian slip. I don't know how many people have started podcasts during this time, but hey, whatever. Good luck, because it's hard. it's real hard. But I have a great show for you guys today. I'm doing 3 shows a week right now. I'm going to do it next week too. But I do have a great show for you guys today. Singer-songwriter Allie Holder returns to the show. She's got a brand new album out, amazing album. It's called Uncomfortable Truths, and it's about exactly that. Uncomfortable truths about violence, economic security, mental and physical health, her own relationship, her marriage. She digs into it. She's got a song out there which is out already. It's called Bad Wife. And it's about losing her identity in the relationship. Like, she really dug into the things that make us really uncomfortable. Chronic pain and perspectives. She's been having migraines for like 20 years and things like that. Just a lot of intense shit that people don't normally talk about. She talks about in this record, and it's absolutely beautiful. I think a lot of you, just like I did, will connect to it, you know? The record drops this Friday, April 10th. But right now, she's got 3 singles out. Reborn, which you'll hear in a second. Bad Wife and Bruja. Those are out. And she's celebrating her release with, of course, how else can you do it now, but with a live stream on her Facebook page, I believe. It takes place Friday, April 10th at 7:30 p.m., the day that the record drops. Go to allieholder.com for all of your information. You're going to love this record, Uncomfortable Truths. I did. I do. And I'm lucky, man. See, in this way, it's pretty cool because I get records before they come out, because I got to hear them. If we're going to talk about them, you got to send me this record. So I've been loving it. I think you're going to love it as well. You can hear those singles, as I said, but Allie and I have an incredible conversation. We dig into the album. We dig into the songs. This is like her 3rd time on the show, and it's always great to talk to her. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal talent and a great, great, great hang. So please enjoy your hang with me and Allie Holder. Let's get down.
Well, I never believed I was good enough, like I deserved every bad thing I got. Yeah, living with pain will make you tough. I'm finally open to healing. I'm open to
all this. How am I holding up through all this? Let's mm-hmm. see, man. I'm holding up. I'm managing on a day to day basis to keep it together.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. It's weird, you know. I try to find as much shit to do as possible throughout the day. I took a wild trip through your head today.
Oh, you did? Well, thank you for listening.
Oh man, thank you for sending it. Thank you for making it. What an incredible record you've made.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, this will come out on Wednesday, so it'll be coming out this Friday. February.
Oh, nice.
April 10th. What am I saying? February.
January 7th.
You want to hear something weird? I was listening to the record, and I'm making notes and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this record, like, you dive into your marriage, into your head, but you dive into the marriage stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things, this record's called Uncomfortable Truths, and you delve into the uncomfortable truths, and I was married for 10 years, and I'm divorced.
Really?
I didn't make it, right? But I realize that you're releasing the record on what would be like, oh my goodness, it would be my 26th anniversary.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I found a way to make this about me, and that.
Great. Maybe. I love it. That's why we're artists.
There's a funny thing, you make some references to that, and I can't remember off the top of my head exactly which song you do about making it about you. Is that the Bad Wife song?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's some stuff that I connected with that I was like, oh, yeah, I probably was, You know,
you're in that life too.
Yeah. You know, it's, yeah. It's, how long have you been married?
We've been married 3 years.
Okay.
But we got married after like 6 months of knowing each other because of visa stuff. So, I mean, I think it's just normal growing pains in a relationship, you know. Ultimately, we would have probably worked those kinks out.
Right.
In a non-marital relationship, you know.
Right.
If it were a normal circumstance.
Is there something about the finality of it that gets to you at times?
I think there was in the beginning, yeah. For sure.
That first year, kind of like you struggle with this sort of like,
yeah.
Oh, so this is it. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny. I think I went through phases of being like, what the fuck did I do? And then now, like, I can't imagine life any other way. And I'm so thankful. So thankful that I trusted my intuition for once, you know? And because I feel like in the past, I've, air quotes, trusted my intuition when really it was just like something I wanted to do, you know? Whereas this was kind of a more weighted decision. And I really am glad that I started trusting myself. And right before we got married, well, maybe a couple months before, I had a tarot reading from this woman in New York who I love. And she was talking about how he's going to be a healing love for you. And because I have all these, you know, chronic health issues, especially some of the ones that are related to sex, I was like, yeah, this is going to be it. My body's going to heal. We're going to heal each other. And then, like, turns out it was like 2 years of couples therapy and of us really like breaking down all of our issues to almost an annoying point. And after that, I was like, oh yeah, I guess we are healing each other, just in a different way than I thought.
Jesus, man, that is heavy.
Yeah.
Really quickly, I don't want to interrupt this flow, but if can you
no.
Can you make sure that microphone is not in your hair?
Oh, sorry.
Because it's making a sick sound. Yeah,
yes, yes. I didn't realize that was a microphone. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the volume button.
Well, plus you're going through like some compressors, so it's like it's pretty intense for me. But you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So you cover this chronic health stuff in. I wrote all this stuff down. I wrote down so much stuff. Reborn, which is the single that just got released.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Today, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, it debuted though yesterday in American Songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations on that. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very excited.
You have migraines, and you've suffered.
I do.
How often do they come?
It just depends. I've kind of, I'm on like a new preventative that I take monthly that's been helpful. And I have this thing called a cephaly, which is kind of like a TENS unit for the, like your nerve endings and muscles in your forehead and all along the back of your head, basically like the path where the migraine goes. And that's been helpful. And I've been doing mind-body connection stuff, which has been helpful. So right now they're okay. You know, like I would say I get headaches, you know, multiple times a week, but I only get knocked out with a migraine maybe once or twice, three times a month, which usually it was three times a week. So I've gone through phases of it.
How did you do that? I mean, I'm sure you had to like play some gigs through that or do some real life shit that you couldn't just not do because of it.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to not do them. Or a lot of times, like I'll, like if I'm teaching a class or playing a gig, I'll have a really awful headache. And then the minute I'm done, I just have to go home and like pass out, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. But I mean, like I'm in a good place. Once I kind of got myself off of caffeine and got myself out of like a rebound cycle of the migraine medicine I was in, I was having like, you know, 15, 20 migraines a month, which was,
oof,
which was awful. But that's, you know, I've luckily done some things to where I have it a little more under control at the moment. What I've learned is that that's always changing.
Yeah. Who produced the record?
No one. I mean, we all just kind of, I guess, what is it, produced by committee?
Yeah.
Like I recorded it at Ramble Creek with Britton, and all of us kind of, my band is really amazing. And
your band is really amazing.
Thank you. I just kind of let everyone have free reign, and we all talk about what we want and what we don't want, and just kind of experiment and go with it.
In that series of songs, Speak, the first one is definitely an Ali Holder I've never heard before. It was like if you went and did a record with Sonic Youth or something.
Yeah, that was definitely out of my comfort zone.
It was pretty cool, though.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm a big fan of crazy noise shit, especially when you're trying to express something.
Yes, I was like, you guys go for it. Have some fun with this one, because I never let you do anything rock and roll. So
it is incredibly rock and roll. I mean, it's like full on, like unbridled rage, which is very rock and roll.
Yeah, when I wanted it, because those different speak or different like vignettes on privilege, and that one was about violence and racism and things like that, how I have the privilege of not having to deal with those on a regular basis. And so I wanted that to be kind of the angry one.
Yeah. When you talk a little bit about that, I had a guy in here. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was a hip hop guy that grew up in a very rough part of Chicago. And he had said something to me that stood out, because I've never had to deal with that kind of racism or anything. Even though I'm Hispanic, I still look like some guy that could be named Sven or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't realize you were Hispanic.
He talked about how when he moved from the country into the city, he went for a jog. And these guys were like, hey, you can't just run. Like, it was so, racism had escaped me so much that I didn't realize it. Being an African-American man,
yeah,
jogging, going for a run,
yeah,
appears to some as a criminal act has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like literally being who you are and looking like you do can land you in jail.
What were examples of what you were sort of like reacting to when you wrote that song?
I guess just like, I wasn't raised in a home where there was physical abuse, and I wasn't, you know, I'm not getting thrown in jail just because of my skin color. Right. And I mean, the whole point of those vignettes is like at the, you know, like the little, if I think of them as a full song, like at the little bridge and then the chorus of each one, it's like, the way I can use my privilege is like lifting up the voice of those who do live with that every day in the best way that I can. And I wanted to write about privilege because it's such a hard thing to talk about, you know, like we all have different privileges.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk about racism, and it's hard to talk about a lot of things, because we're not taught how to communicate in a way that makes us feel comfortable.
Right. Right.
So I just tried to get it out via song, I guess.
Yeah. As far as privilege, like, you know, a lot of people don't really, a lot of people who are white people who would be assumed to be a privilege don't normally acknowledge that when they're pointing out the wrong actions of others. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you don't really have that much of a connection to the underprivileged just by the sheer nature of the fact that you have privilege. Does that make sense?
I think that it's, things are the culture we live in, and that, I mean, all over the world, but it's systematically set up to enable the privilege and beat down the, you know, underprivileged.
Yeah.
Like it's set up that way. It's not just like an accident. It's things that have perpetually built on themselves for decades and decades.
Yeah.
Centuries even.
Yeah. And even, you talk about it in your, in the bio about how poverty also falls into that sort of like discrimination and the inability to pull out of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of, if you don't have parents that can, you know, give you $1,000 if your car breaks down, and then you can't go to work, and then you can't, you know, you can't get out of like a vicious cycle if you're working minimum wage and you can't pay off a debt that you have. I don't know. And I feel like, you know, as an adult, I definitely have known what it's like to not have a lot and go without. But I was also, again, systematically raised in a middle-class white family. So I, from the get-go, have the privilege of just being set up to function more easily in the world.
Do you think that you have some sort of what's referred to as white guilt in some way?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I spent a lot of years not realizing how privileged I was. And so I don't know. I think all you can do is just try to like bring other people's attention to it and give back when you can. And
Do you remember the moment that you had that epiphany that you were like, oh, wait a minute?
I think it was
I'm part of them, not us.
Yeah. I think slowly over time, you know, like when I was doing education classes in college, that was kind of the first time we had a full class on how to deal with impoverished students, you know, like an entire class on it in a college curriculum. And that's the first time I was kind of like, oh, what? And like how, you know, a lot of people, I used to do a lot of stuff with Arts from the Streets and work with the homeless. And, you know, so many people are like, oh, they're just choosing to be this way. And they're just choosing to not work. They're lazy. And right, it's like a lot of those people don't have any resources. A lot of them are unmedicated and need to be medicated and have mental illness and no one else to lean on. And I don't know. It's just, it's a tragedy that people don't take the time to understand other people.
Yeah. Is that like a conscious decision that you made? Like, do you feel like you went for years without that sort of empathy?
I don't think I went without the empathy.
Because I was just like, didn't know where to direct it?
Yeah, well, I think I just didn't have a full understanding of it. Like, I was raised in the church, right? So I was always taught to be of service to people, even though it's not something I subscribe to now, the church or religion. But like, I always knew that it was good to be good to other people who had less. But I just don't think that I realized how deep of an issue it is until I, you know, got a little older and was able to understand those things. I feel like I'm talking in circles. But the point of those songs is that, like, if you are privileged, I mean, like, I'm saying this as I, like, you know, have lost most of my jobs now. And, like, you know, I'm like, please buy all my merch. But at the same time, I still, like, have a home and I still have one job that I can work online. And I still, you just have to do everything you can do, because once you become aware of things like that, like, it's your job, if you can do it, to do it, to help others.
Will you touch on the importance of boundaries?
Yes. I think, being a woman, even just that culturally, you grow up learning to be a people pleaser and learning that, like, it's more important to make other people comfortable no matter what, even if they're the one being an asshole. Sorry, that was my dryer.
Yeah.
yeah, and even boundaries like within my marriage, boundaries in friendships, boundaries with my parents, like, you know, boundaries with work, boundaries with like my self-care. I think you have to learn how to have boundaries in every situation as you get older, or you just kind of start flailing as an individual.
Yeah.
And getting really unhappy.
Yeah.
And resentful.
Yeah. Because people aren't giving you what you think you need at the time, because you're expecting too much, because there's no boundary there of.
Yeah. Or you're just not, you don't even know how to ask for what you want. And so it's.
Yeah. What does your husband think of this album?
He's very supportive. He's a champ.
Yeah.
There was definitely, you know, I'm sure it wasn't easy. There's definitely some arguing about the Bad Wife song in the beginning. I'm sure that's not something, you know, because I wrote it, you know, probably when we first got married. So that was kind of my way of going through my own issues around expectations with myself and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't an easy thing, but it's also part of how I function in the world is being able to talk about my feelings and turn it into art. So, and yeah, things are really great now after 2 years of really hashing it out. Like, we're doing great. So
yeah,
it's worth being honest about that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely is, because there are things that everybody is dealing with.
Yeah.
That nobody talks about, you know?
Yeah, and people see it as shameful, and it's like, none of that's shameful. It's just reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I remember when things started going south in my marriage, I remember calling my grandmother, who had then been married for, I think, like 55 years. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, this is real hard. She's like, yeah, dude. What do you think? Me and your grandpa, like, fucking, I want to stab that dude in the face, like, half the time. Are you kidding? In fact, I do have a great story. There's one time my ex-wife and I were there at my grandparents' house, and we were sitting around the breakfast table. And my grandmother, my ex-wife said, you guys have been married for 50 years. Like, how do you do that? And my grandmother was doing something, like, with her hands. And she's an old Cuban woman. And she was like, well, you know, I love him so much. And we lose our country, Cuba. We lose our daughter. And we have to stay together. And he, you know, he's always been this rock for me. So I try to be this rock for him. And it's just, it's pure love. And at that moment, my grandfather walked out in his underwear and asked, like, in Spanish, if she had seen a little piece of paper he had written something on, and it was very important. And she, like, screamed at him, no! And then she looked at my wife and she said, and sometimes I want to kill that man. So I think that it is a balance of, like, real feelings that people have, you know, in the struggle, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think it is. And, like, you know, I think we get caught up in, like, Hollywood, what we see in movies as being, you know, the ideal scenario. But really, like, the juiciness of loving someone and being with someone is, like, the hard stuff and working through it. We got kicked out of our last place, like, overnight, basically had to move in 2 weeks, and because our landlord is just a complete monster. And, like, when we had to do that and find a new place to live and move and, like, all this insanely stressful stuff, like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is why you have a partner, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, this is what makes you stronger when you go through adversity like this, and you can trust that the other person's going to be there.
Yeah, totally. What is he in the arts?
He is, yeah. He plays music as well. He also works at ACC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are you, what's the day job that you said you had, the computer job?
I do social media for a freestanding ER chain, as well as some tarot readings online.
Oh, cool. Do you, how did you learn tarot? How did you get involved with tarot?
I just started studying it. I picked up a deck in Nashville in, like, 2012 when I was on tour, and just started studying it and then reading for people and then reading publicly for people, like, 3 years ago. And I love it. It's like therapy. I'm a therapy junkie. I've been in therapy for a long time. So it feels just like another modality of healing. Yeah. I think some people just need to be prompted. I think they don't know. I think they know they're feeling something, but they need a little prodding on how to get it out. And that's just a creative way to bring out archetypes and situations.
That's interesting. So you don't think of some mystical kind of...
There's definitely an intuition aspect of it. My ability as a reader definitely got a lot better once I was able to trust my intuition around, like, what the person was saying and what the cards were saying and meaning, you know, things like that.
Yeah. This is so interesting. When I was listening to this record and I was reading all that stuff, I was thinking about, like, I think the last time you were on, you were like, oh yeah, I locked myself away in this cabin and just read Stephen King books and, like, wrote this record.
Yeah.
What a different record.
Yeah, for sure. I think I got to a point. I mean, you know how it is. Like, you have to, like, always promote yourself and always get press photos and, like, get your face out there and, like, raise money and, like, all this stuff. And, like, it just became really, really icky feeling for me and, like, a rat race. And I was like, okay, I have to figure out a better way to do music if I'm going to keep doing it.
Right.
And I was listening to an Oprah meditation. And she was talking about how, you know, you're on your right path when it involves helping other people. And I was like, oh, cool. So, like, I can try to gear my music towards helping other people feel less alone in their own struggles.
Yeah.
By talking about mine.
Yeah. Do you think, I feel like this is a new step of as a songwriter? I mean, do you, like, as a new, like, do you think this could be a path that you go on?
Sure.
Like, delving through different parts of your life and dealing with the uncomfortable truths?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think that's what art is in the first place. You just, people often hide it in metaphors and things like that. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's always new paths that divert in ways we can't imagine, and thank goodness.
Yeah.
Those are usually more creative than we can come up with.
Yeah. So before all this went down, had you been touring a lot?
Yeah, I tour a couple times a year for about 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
Where do you go?
Midwest, usually. I've done, you know, Northeast and Southeast a handful of times. I've done the West Coast once or twice. But mainly, you know, kind of the middle of the corridor of the States.
Sure. And you hit those often enough to sort of, like, see some kind of growth happening?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you able to take a band on those tours, or do you go out?
No. If I'm in Texas, like, I'll do band shows.
Yeah.
If the gigs pay well enough. But I just can't pay my band on the road what they need to be paid and want and should be paid, so it's just easier for me to go by myself. And, you know, all of them have families and other jobs. And I also love traveling alone, so that helps too.
What do you do when you're traveling alone?
What'd you say?
Like, what are some of the highlights of traveling alone? Like, what do you do that's...
Oh, I love driving. And I love just listening to podcast after podcast after podcast. And I love driving and listening to silence. And I'm, like, pretty much naturally an introvert. And so when I'm here in Austin, like, if I'm not playing a show, I usually don't go out at all. And so when I'm on the road, I'm forced to, like, make friends with strangers. And, like, I'm forced to have conversations with people that I'm staying with. And it's awesome. It fills me up in a way that's like how I can handle being extroverted for a total of like 2 months out of the year. And just all those connections. I love traveling and meeting people.
Do you feel like you have a clan or a tribe here, like a group of other musicians that you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I feel like Austin is a great community.
Who are your people?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Well, my best friend, Little Brave, is here. Yeah. She's not making as much music anymore.
Yeah, what's
She's...
going on with her? I was just thinking about her the other day.
Yeah, she's now kind of crossed over into writing. She writes novels and creative writing, and she's about to start grad school at UT in their creative writing program. And she's, like, stupidly talented at everything she does. Yeah. So, yeah. She's doing that. And then...
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say one of my favorite photo shoots I've ever had with someone was with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
They turned out great. And she made me it was so fun to do. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. I was going to say Christy Hayes is another one.
Oh, yeah.
But she's, She's back in Montana for this part of the year. She goes back once it starts getting hot here.
When you say this part of the year, is that the pandemic part of the year or just the...
So she lives in Montana half the year. So
yeah, yeah. No, I was just joking. Yeah. Making a terrible joke about the horrible thing we're all going through. What are you doing now during this time to stay busy? Obviously, you're doing a lot of record promotion stuff, probably sitting on your couch.
Yeah. I am. You know, it's weird. To spend like a whole year on something and then, like everyone else, just have to be like, goodbye. Goodbye planning. Goodbye all the things. I mean, hopefully I'll have all that whole release week worth of shows and radio and TV in the fall and just have it as like a, I don't know, a reprise release. I don't really know, but.
I don't understand why right now wouldn't be a, like, it's weird. There's a couple of people I've talked to. Some of them, Eliza Gilkison, I know, has a record coming out the same day as you, and some people are moving ahead, but I know that she had a lot of stuff already put into that thing, so there was no stopping it. And probably same thing with yours. But you it seems like now people don't have an excuse not to listen to your record. It's free.
True.
You're sitting at home, listen to it.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily comfortable with it, but I'm going to do like a live stream that day, like a Facebook Live thing, and play some songs, and
So that's, what time are you going to do that on Friday?
7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m., and that'll be on your Allie Holder music page?
Good question. Okay. Yeah, sure. That or my, that makes sense, or my personal page, I'm not sure. I should figure that out, but
have you ventured into the live streaming?
No, I did. I did a thing for Black Fret, and that's the only thing I did. I kind of staged it in my living room and sent that over because I have a pretty delicate immune system, and I didn't want to do like they did like a live streaming at Shoals Garden, which was cool.
But. Yeah. I saw some of their thing. It's some of the things sound and look incredible. Their things sounded great, looked incredible. Yeah. The Kurtz at 1:1 looked and sounded great, but he had that system in place before, but still he was ready to go.
Yeah. So I've only really done that. Otherwise though, I've been letting myself sleep in and take naps and like meditate and do yoga and go on a walk and write and get the work done I need to get done and just like, I mean, it actually took a pandemic for me to take a break and like live a normal paced lifestyle. So that's been an interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a live stream the other night, and while it was very fun and people were there and it was very exciting, I did like a split screen song swap on Instagram Live.
That's fun.
When I went back and heard it, it sounded terrible. Not like just the sort of like
the graininess.
And I'm wondering, like, for myself almost, and I mean, I guess this is worth talking about because a lot of us are going through this, is that I wonder if it's still as exciting for the person watching it if you just recorded it and uploaded it. Like,
yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, because the sound quality can get weird, and I feel like when you're just doing a video and then you upload it, you have a little bit more control over what it'll sound like.
It's true. Yeah. Then I don't really understand it all.
Then there's these people like Ray Prim. Are you friends with him? Mm-hmm. That guy's got like, you'd think he's got literally like the same level of professionalism as like a regular TV show at this point. You know?
That's awesome.
Sounds and looks great. Anything else you've been doing?
I did some visual art the other day, which I hadn't done in a long time.
Nice.
I would love to start writing again.
Writing music?
I think playing music. I think I just have worked. I've been home since the 13th. So I kind of like, I got around to it a little earlier because of my immune system. And I think that I've just been trying so hard to deal with my anxiety and like ways of coping and getting in a routine and upping my meds and like just getting that in balance, that now I feel like I'm finally in a place where I can not catastrophize.
Right,
and I can finally, you know, have space to be creative.
Yeah. There is that sort of like downtime and being in one place for so long, even though we have all these instruments around us and stuff. I don't know what your music room looks like, but like sometimes it's just, you know, I go through these parts of the day or days where I'm like a deer in the headlights. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. And then you feel like, oh, I should be doing this. And the pressure of that breaks you down. And then, you know, it feels like a battle. And at the beginning of this, I think I was just so like heartbroken, you know, collectively, but also about the release stuff that I was like, I just need a break for a minute from music.
Sure. And I mean, the thing is like, it's not like we're not acknowledging the fact that we're not on the front line working at Bellevue Hospital or something in New York,
but
everybody in their own way is taking a hit on this. And I know, I mean, people out there probably that listen to this show understand what it takes just to get the finances to make a record that sounds as good. Like, your record sounds incredible. I mean, it really does.
You.
I mean, it's really a great, this is a great, this record is, do you feel like it's, I feel like it's the best one you've made, and it's so focused, and it's so real, yet it's not cynical. There's like this optimism to it. You know,
I've worked a long time to be optimistic, so thank you.
It's hard to find that balance of telling the truth without.
It is. I'm doing this, like I think I mentioned earlier, this mind body connection thing about how to kind of deal with chronic pain, and one of the things they have you do is just like write about all your shit, basically. And it sounds so simple, but I kind of realized I've been doing it since January that like I don't allow myself to get angry, myself to be negative, which can be really damaging to you. It's kind of like being a toxic people pleaser, things like that. So it's been interesting to, because I always want to be positive and I always like want to be grateful. And I think I'm finally learning that it's, you know, there's got to be a balance of actually, I thought I'd been feeling my feelings this whole time and doing so well. And it turns out I really just haven't been letting myself fully, you know, get angry.
Yeah. I feel those feelings, but I don't want people to see them. And I think that's another set of issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Craziness. So in this time of releasing a record like this, you're doing the online show, and what else? You've been doing interviews with people, other interviews?
Yeah, I've been doing, I hired a publicist. She's great. Her name's Sarah Frost. So she's been setting up a lot of stuff for me.
Cool.
Interviews and articles and things like that. I think I was going to say too, like, I have a hard time doing stuff online. Like, there's something that doesn't snap over for me. Like, when I'm on stage and I have monitors and like, there's an energy, like something flips on me and I'm like, oh yeah, this is me performing.
Right.
And then if I'm sitting here in front of my camera, I'm like, you know, this is terrible. Why would anyone listen to this?
Well, I mean, it's not. You'll see. I felt that same way. And then when I did one song, I felt real comfortable.
Okay.
I was real uncomfortable until I did that first song. And I was like, in fact, we were only doing an hour and we did 2 hours. That's how much fun it got to be.
I'm doing 30 minutes. So that's good to know.
Well, you know, we're old and we, you know, like got to Springsteen that shit so that people get the message. You want to do it. Like, don't do your live stream until the numbers go all the way down to zero like we did. Don't run everyone off. No, we didn't do that. It was good. What else? What else is going on with you, Allie? I mean, can
I
you
know.
Recommend any books or music? Have you been listening to any new music that you might like?
Oh, man. Someone asked me this question on an interview recently, and I just, like, I don't really listen to much music. I know that's, like, blasphemous. My husband listens to a lot of music, I tend to listen to stuff I already know or have listened to for a long time.
Yeah.
But my husband has kind of gotten me into a guy named Damian Girardo.
Oh, yeah. That guy's great.
Jason Molina.
Yeah.
And I like them a lot. Just like real sad sack writers. Yeah. You know, I love it.
I just did a podcast with this dude, Pat Byrne. Have you heard that guy? This Irish
guy? No, I've heard his name.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. Cool. I'll have to check it out.
Your stuff and his stuff is my tunes for the last couple of days.
Oh,
which is
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Thanks
yeah.
for listening.
I found myself too during this time, I think, kind of like listening to comfort music as yeah. well. I've been listening to the music that I used to listen to with my first band when I was 13 and 14. Like yeah. that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like comfort food. Well, and I think, I mean, you know how it is. Once you start making records, like, it's hard to hear a record the same way. And, like, I used to listen to, like, albums back and forth, and they just became these time stamps for me of, you know, I don't know. I loved them and knew every line. You know, I think about when I was, like, first listening to Ryan Adams or Lucinda Williams, and now I love my friends' music at shows that I sing with and
yeah.
play with, and, but I just don't, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Huh. I wonder.
Can't get deep in.
I feel like that. I feel like I get to dig in because when I listen to records for the podcast or something like that, I'm listening yeah. on headphones.
Yeah.
And I'm immersed in it. And I don't feel like I have a turntable, and when I listen to records, it's because I'm putting on a record.
Yeah.
But I feel like the delivery system and sort of the mixtape of our choice world at any given moment that we live in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is kind of hard not to flit around, you know, chasing the shiny objects or something.
It is, and I've noticed that when I teach art classes, I'll put on, like, you know, Spotify has, like, your daily mix or, right. like, your mix 1, 2, and 3. And those are actually, like, you know, like, they'll do, like, a good mix of, like, New Orleans brass bands and then, like, you know, St. Vincent and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
David Byrne. And, like, so it's good. I don't know. I like that stuff.
Do you listen to jazz music?
You know, I listen to it as a tourist for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm by no means schooled in it either, but I have gotten into some jazz while I watched this Miles Davis thing.
Yeah.
I guess it was from PBS, The Birth of Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
When I was watching it, I was like, why am I not listening to this guy all the time?
Right?
He's fucking cool. And
yeah, then, why are we not listening to the grandfathers of our own music?
Yeah, I know. We lost Bill Withers today. That's a rough.
I know.
That's
I
a
saw
rough,
that.
That was a rough one.
Was it from coronavirus or just age?
I don't know. That's another thing too, is I've got to sort of like curb my news thing on a daily yeah. basis and just check in a couple of times a day just to make sure, like, you know.
Yeah. I broke up with the news on Monday. I haven't since Sunday night. I haven't been talking to the news or reading the news.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
it's helped a lot.
I don't know what it is. I think I'm going to miss.
Yeah, and we can't control anything. So it's like, it was just making me so anxious.
So
that I was,
anxious, yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
That so. Feeling of helplessness is really, it's difficult. And I think that we, there's this sort of untouchable feeling we have in this country.
Yeah.
Like something might happen, there might be a hurricane and it fucks up Houston for a little while, but everybody comes together and gives it, like, now everyone is in the same boat.
Yeah.
And it's you realize how quickly we can go from being the, air quotes again, most powerful nation in the world to, you know, hospitals in New York being like a third world country or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like something out of a movie that scares the shit out of you, an apocalypse movie or something.
It's true. Yeah. 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 It's a trip.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, well, man, I don't, did we covered a lot of stuff, Allie.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with me. I am I'm really blown away. I've loved your music since you first came on the show and I heard it and I love what you've done, and I'm really blown away by this record, man. People should get out there and listen to it. This is a real thing. People in relationships, even not just like a couple relationship, but like your relationship to the world, your relationship to yourself, your relationship to the everything around you was really like examined and explored. And also they're great songs too. It's not just like a message, you know what I mean? Like someone yelling at you about something. It's like you're a great musician and you're a great songwriter. And you really dug into a dark corner and pulled out some beautiful shit this time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, let's catch up again too, so I can see how you're doing.
Yeah. I'm here, man. You know, I'm doing podcasts. I'm trying to make music. Yeah. I've been playing some bass along with drum machines.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bass is hard.
I want to get your band to come over and do like you did on that Speak One, like do that crazy noise guitar shit. I'm like,
man,
I'm gonna get Allie's band.
Yeah, they had some fun. Even when we were practicing, when we thought we were having release shows, I was like, I can't play this fast. Like, I can't do this. I finally figured it out. But
That's good. Well, people get out there. Uncomfortable Truths comes out Friday, April 10th, and there are singles available now: Reborn, Bad Wife, and Bruja. Bruja, you know, my grandpa, I have my mom was one of four sisters.
Oh, wow.
And my grandpa was this macho Cuban dude, just all these women all the time. And if he ever saw them congregating, like with my grandmother, like in the kitchen, he would say, mira las brujitas. He called them the brujitas.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So people can get out there and find it. Go to allieholder.com Friday. April 10th, 7:30 p.m. There will be a live stream performance. I will try and check this out.
Awesome.
I might be out that day doing a lot of things. Like, all right. Well, take care. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks
take care
for
of yourself.
Me.
And thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you. Bye.
I refuse to be the victim. I refuse to be shown. Talking about Uncomfortable Truths. That is the great Allie Holder. That's her song Reborn from her upcoming album Uncomfortable Truths. Comes out this Friday, April 10th, gang. Get out there and get it. Go to allieholder.com. She'll also be performing live on Facebook Friday, April 10th at 7:30. I think on Facebook. Maybe go to allieholder.com or go to her Facebook page and all that stuff. What a fantastic conversation. And gang, honestly, what a great record. Get out there. Get it on Friday. Buy it if you can. Hey, if you can't afford it, if you can, buy it. And if you can't, stream the shit out of it, baby, because it is fantastic. Allie Holder, Uncomfortable Truths, drops this Friday. She's got a live stream, 7:30 that night. Her single's out right now. She's got singles you can listen to right now from it. That one that you just heard, Reborn, a song called Bad Wife that we talked about, and the song called Bruja that we talked about there. Anyway, great conversation, great person, great artist. Gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out allieholder.com, you can always subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. Be that Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Android Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you find podcasts, you will get a new show at least this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A lot of great conversations coming up. Friday, I will be talking to the great singer-songwriter, keyboard player, sideman musician, unbelievable talent, Andrew Nolte. And if you don't know him, I cannot wait to introduce you to him. He's a fantastic dude, amazing musician. I had the pleasure of working with him a month ago or so in the studio before we all got quarantined. And I was blown away. And I checked out his solo music and I was blown away. Andrew Nolte, fantastic dude. Thanks again for listening to the show. Don't forget that this show's always free, always been free, will always be free. If you want to kick in a little something at the bottom of the text of this podcast, my Venmo and my PayPal are there. If you're thinking about it and you think you're in the position to kick some money, do it. If not, share it. Share the word of How Did I Get Here. Spread it on the social medias. Tag me in it. How Did I Get Here? All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Allie Holder, Great album, Uncomfortable Truths, drops Friday, April 10th, this Friday. Go to allieholder.com. And this is the rest of the song, Reborn, from that album. Have a good week, guys. See you Friday. Let's get down.
Spend all my time trying to justify why I want to stay home almost every night. It's not that I don't care, I'm just so damn tired. Always fighting with my body, fighting with my mind. There's a hunger in my heart that was given to me. Sleeps with me at night and wakes me in the morning. I was born to be a bridge, insatiable as I see. Bridge between the truth that heals us and the truth that stings.